Mark 14, 32 to 42. It's entitled Gethsemane. I've got the NIV version, so. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back and again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy, they did not know what to say to him. Returning a third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Father God, thank you for this precious time that we have together. I pray that as you are here, you would help the words from my mouth, the meditation in all of our hearts, be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. For anyone who's doing the Bible in 1 year this year, will have had a surprise this morning to find that the corresponding passage in Matthew's Gospel was part of today's reading, and it's very analogous to those that have done that. But here we are on the Maundy Thursday of the first Holy Week. This event could well have spilled onto the first hours of the first Good Friday. Jesus has shared his Last Supper. He now goes into the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest and crucifixion. And he's had a busy week. Since chapter 11 and his triumphal entry, it's been so busy that it's taken us over 6 months to cover that time, when I think it was Paul Joel covered it back in September. Of course, we've had gaps. But most of us, if we've had a busy week, would look forward to sitting down, relaxing for a nice weekend. But not so with Jesus. Here he's reaching the very climax of his life. He wouldn't even be alive by the weekend. And in today's passage, as he prepares for his imminent arrest, he chooses to spend his last few hours of physical freedom with his friends in prayer to his Father. It may please some of you that I don't intend to talk for very long today, famous last words, because rather than you being drowned by the words that I speak, I want to give an extended time for response at the end and reflection, because I believe that's where that direct connection with God and the transformation through the Holy Spirit, that's where the real business can be done. As I was thinking about this passage, you think about Jesus being overwhelmed. For me, it's not a natural thought. And for a Christian, it can be, I think, quite unnerving. Because when I think of Jesus from the Bible, I'm quite happy to think and relate to the healer Jesus, or the successful debater Jesus, or the all-powerful Jesus. But the desperate Jesus? Because desperation is a very human emotion. Here, Jesus is showing his humanity. And actually, if any of us were to doubt whether Jesus was really fully human when he was on earth, I think this passage gives us good, strong evidence towards that. He was in great distress. He was at the end of his tether, staring death full in the face. In Luke's account, it even talks about giant drops of sweat like blood falling on the ground. And although none of us have experienced exactly what Jesus did at that time, I don't think we ever could, all of us, I believe, have experienced times of sorrow some more than others to a greater or lesser extent, but times when the waves around us seem choppy, very choppy, and incessantly so. And that may be through health, it may be through relationships, it may be through finances, it may be through work, it may be a combination of lots of different things. But I wonder what you do, what your natural reaction is when you hit that dark place. There's a quote from Joyce Meyer that says, do you run to the phone or run to the throne? And in our story today, we hear about three groups of people. We've got the disciples who were told to sit in verse 32. Secondly, we've got Peter, James and John who were invited to come closer in. This was Jesus' inner circle of friends. And then we've got Jesus himself who is overwhelmed and prays. My question to you is, I wonder which of those three groups you relate to the most. You feel like the disciples, followers, but on the fringes maybe? Or maybe you can relate to Peter, James and John, feeling a closeness to Jesus, but feeling tired, unable to stay awake, knowing that that willingness of the spirit, but the weakness of the flesh. Or maybe you relate to Jesus. Maybe you feel overwhelmed by your circumstances, by life, hanging on by your fingernails, by faith to God. Or maybe just feeling overwhelmed. Do you want to know what the good news is? Whoever you relate to, wherever you are, there is hope. There is hope. And I briefly want to consider the story, first from the perspective of Jesus and secondly from the disciples, because I think we can live out, or look to live out, the example of Jesus. Because not only does this passage show his vulnerability and his weakness, which we've touched on, but his rock-solid relationship through his responses is a shining example and a model for us all. And I think it's really important to note that this situation didn't come about because of something that Jesus had done wrong. And I think that's quite important, because not every period of sorrow that we go through in our lives is necessarily because of something that we've done wrong. Sometimes you can go through periods of sorrow when you're doing things that are right. But it's really important that Jesus did not seek to take the matter into his own hands here, but instead he was able to exhibit a huge amount of self-control, faithfulness, and obedience. And how did he do that? Because it was fueled from intimacy with his Father. Note this use of this word, Abba, Father, that for those that have heard that word before, know that it's an Aramaic, very intimate, sort of daddy-type word. And to be able to trust in that time, not my will, but yours be done, this isn't a cry of resignation. This is quite the opposite. This is a statement of utmost courage. And it's a statement that starts to reverse that was said in another garden when Adam and Eve said, not your will, but mine be done, in the Garden of Eden. Despite the temptation to seek another way out, Jesus trusts in God's perfect will. And Nicky Gumbel asks, is there any greater example to us when we are fearful of what lies ahead? Something else that I find really interesting about this passage is Jesus gathers his friends around him at this dark time. Because whenever I read the passage, Jesus often goes off on his own to a quiet place, a mountainside somewhere else, to be with his Father. Yet here, at this stage, there's a sense in which he's split almost between wanting to have his friends around, but also wanting to be on his own with his Father. And I don't know exactly what the answer is, but I think there's a paradox there that anyone that's been to a very deep place of sorrow can probably echo. Often it is easiest to withdraw when terrible things happen. My encouragement to you is, whatever your garden looks like, don't go there alone. Because this is when the body of Christ should be at its best. And I know that there are so many wonderful people that I'm looking at here, and others as well who can't be with us today, who are great at getting alongside people. Take the risk of sharing your anguish and pain with someone, because sometimes people don't automatically know what's going on in your head. You know, sometimes we think the more the people love us, the more they can read our minds. It's not always true. And Jesus had no problem communicating clearly with his disciples when they missed the mark, telling them they've fallen asleep. And in the same way, don't be afraid to communicate how you're feeling, because maybe they're going through a rough time on their own. And we, like Jesus, need to be careful not to give up on those who are trying to be there for us. But it's always a small word with a big meaning. When you're in that place, don't let your anger turn to sin and rage. Jesus, in his grief, did not sin and fly off the handle at his disciples. And I'm pretty certain if I was in that situation under that much stress, my reaction would have been very different. So whilst his desperation and his vulnerability is so relatable, I find Jesus' responses and his reactions are so fundamentally and profoundly challenging in this passage. What about the disciples? Well, let's be honest, this account doesn't put them in a good light, does it? In this climactic part of the gospel story, just when Jesus needs his friends, and they're having a snooze. He spent 3 years full-time training these group of 12 and they can't stay awake. And you know what? I think it's really easy to sit here in our 21st century in the pews or from the pulpit and to judge them. But to be honest, could we have done any better? I don't know. You see, for them, it was the end of a long day. At the end of a long week. These were country folk who had found themselves in a strange city. And they'd been seeing and hearing things that they didn't really have a clue about, and they were wrestling and grappling with. They didn't understand the gravity of the situation, that the Son of Man was about to die. And I was thinking, how can we relate this to us? And I thought, have you ever said you'd pray for somebody and then you forgot? You would never do that, would you? Oh, you would. I want to tell you a story. I was writing this part of my sermon, and a prayer request came in on my phone, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'll do something about that later. Pop the phone there, back to the sermon. Read what I'd just written. Bang. You ever get that conviction of the Holy Spirit? Haven't prayed for them. Right, get the phone back up. I'll just tap back a message. Of goodwill. Oh, I'll include a verse there as well. That's encouraging. Great. Phone back on the side. Back to the sermon. Bang. Still haven't prayed for them. You know, there's a verse in Matthew 5, verse 37, a verse I'm sure you know well. It says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you say you're going to pray for somebody, do it. I did, but it took me 3 attempts. So, I said earlier I wanted to leave some time for reflection and connect. Because in these verses, I say, we see three different groups of people. And I ask the question, who do you relate to? Where do you need to walk more closely with God in your life? Because some of you may feel in a state of despair. You may feel at the bottom of that pit. You may feel the waves around you and feel overwhelmed. And I pray that the God of all comforts would comfort you. Some of you may feel distant from Jesus. You may feel on the fringes. Do you know what? Jesus invites you to come closer, to be the friend of the King of Kings. Some of you may feel a failure for being spiritually asleep. And Jesus encourages you to wake up Some of you may need to obey the word of God in your life, the not my will but yours. And Jesus' own obedience and courage should be a model to you. Some of you may need to repent. Some of you may need strength to persevere. Whatever it is, wherever you are, you know, I want to give you some time just to connect with God and do the business with him. Because ultimately, I believe it's got very little to do with the words that I say, but it's got everything to do with what's going on down here. And just before we do that, I'm just going to play a background track and just give space. You can read your Bible, you can pray, you can kneel. It's between you and God. Nobody's watching you. But before I do, I just want to tell you about a time in my life when I felt overwhelmed. But it wasn't being overwhelmed by sorrow. This was being overwhelmed by the love of God. And it's part of my testimony. You see, I grew up in a Christian household with Christian parents. For that, I'm really grateful. And when I hit my teenage years, I found that all these Bible stories I learned as a child didn't seem to hold water in the world that I found myself in. Christianity and God went on the back burner. When I was 16 years old, I was invited to a youth conference. I went along, I don't really know why, but I did. For the first time, I found people who were not too dissimilar age to myself. They had something I didn't have. A chap spoke, it was a Saturday night. I'll be honest, I don't really remember what he said. But at the end, he invited people to come forward if you wanted to experience more of the love of God. I went forward, and as I was at the front, I felt a love come into my heart that I'd never known before. It was the love of God. It was like all the stories, everything I knew in my head traveled down to my heart. Some say the longest and the hardest journey of all. And yes, I knew Jesus died for the sins of the world, but at that time I knew Jesus died for my sin. He died for me. It was personal, and I never was the same since. Do you want to know what? That experience happened 20 years ago and 9 days. And there's a verse, a quote from C.S. Lewis. It's quite a famous quote that I've always held dear since that time. And it says, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. So I'm going to pray, and then there's going to be some music, a CD track playing, and it's just time for you to connect with God. However, once we've done that, I think Martin's going to take us into communion. But let me just pray. Father God, thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are in the transformation business. Thank you that you send your Holy Spirit to us. We invite you to come now to fill us, to meet with us, to heal us, to strengthen us.